Plant your axe. Plant your axe. My brother, my beloved 5 years younger brother Mark was screaming at me. He was standing at the top of a steep, ice-covered crag as I was careening down, sliding rapidly toward a precarious drop. It was August 1999, and we were on the second day of our expedition up Mount Shasta, a 14,179-foot volcanic mountain in California's Cascade Range. Mark, a very knowledgeable, experienced climber, had suggested we undertake this adventure together. So we had driven 4 hours north of the San Francisco Bay Area and found ourselves a couple of days later at a trailhead from which we were to climb over 7,000 feet to the summit. The first day was an enjoyable challenge, a long, steady, beautiful climb up past the tree line and across snow-streaked, rocky outcroppings to a campsite where we rested, ate, and took in the moon's splendorous rise before retiring for a short night's sleep. Just 2 weeks before, I'd spent 5 long days in the fireside room of the Star King School for the Ministry in Berkeley. I was on summer study leave from my position as the minister of a self-proclaimed liberal ecumenical Baptist congregation where I had served for the past 8 years. We were in the middle of a challenging building project on what would result in an AIA award-winning facility, the preparation, funding, and design of which had consumed me in recent years. I was depleted from the added demands of that massive project. And so, as had been my habit for several years, I'd gone to Berkeley to participate in the summer session of the Graduate Theological Union. I was particularly excited that summer to be in a class on religious humanism with Corin Arisian, longtime minister of one of Unitarian Universalism's flagship humanist congregations and leader in the ethical culture movement. I was hoping to recharge and renew in a place that had become familiar and cherished over many visits. But my fatigue that year had an even deeper source. A decade and a half after my ordination, a few miles from here at the Myers Park Baptist Church, I was struggling to sustain my spiritual footing in a religious tradition that felt increasingly problematic. I'd been raised attending Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening services in a stunning glass and wood octagonal chapel of a highly educated, well-to-do Baptist church. It was a wonderful place to grow up, a community that first inspired me to want to be a minister. After the ups and downs of a degree in philosophy and a series of seminary adventures, I was well into my professional career with connections and investments and a growing reputation at one of the most progressive Baptist congregations in the country. And yet, despite all of that, it no longer felt satisfying. The effort to sustain myself in that role proved harder and harder. The steep climb into that pulpit felt more and more challenging every week. I was increasingly out of sync in a tradition in which I had cut my religious teeth and through which I had evolved into the current standing I had as a minister of a congregation known in Houston and beyond for punching well above its weight. and those famous opening lines of Dante. Midway through the journey of our life, I found myself in a forest dark, for the straightforward pathway had been lost. It was how I felt when I walked into a religious humanism course that Monday morning. Rousing ourselves in the pre-dawn darkness, my brother Mark and I donned snowsuits and helmets before carefully attaching spiky crampons to our boots. Handing me my ice axe, Mark offered a tutorial, explaining carefully what to do in case of a fall and slide, pointing out how to plant the axe to slow one's descent. Then we were off in the faint light, the snow-covered summit not yet visible. It would prove to be the most physically demanding undertaking I'd ever experienced, far more challenging than the marathon I'd completed earlier that same year. We were soon headed up sheer frozen gulches, slowly progressing step over sideways step, our crampons tenuously gripping the ice with each stride. We gasped for breath in the thin air of that elevation, pausing frequently to rest and quiet the quivering of our overtaxed legs. Mark patiently accommodated my far less adept approach, pointing out footholds, offering me a hand up when he could, carrying our small pack with water and snacks for both of us. After an intense, challenging week in Corin Arisian's religious humanism class, the outline of a path forward began to emerge. I could see then what I would need to do. I returned to Houston and began immediately talking with Bob Shibley and Mark Bellatini, two Unitarian Universalist ministers I knew and loved. Just 1 year later, we had completed and dedicated our new building. I had resigned my position, left my job and my home for the past decade, and much more momentously, left the religious tradition that had been mine for my whole life. With a dear friend alongside, I drove the long, long route from Houston to Berkeley, where I entered Star King in order to begin the long, long process of transferring my ordination to Unitarian Universalism. Re-entering seminary in a whole new tradition after 16 years as a minister was exhilarating. Oh, how I relished that opportunity to be back in school again, to have long days of classes and long nights of reading and writing, unbroken by any professional demands on my time. I welcomed the chance to delve deeper into topics of interest and to explore new areas of import to my new tradition. After years of leading and teaching, I committed completely to the role of student, letting others be the guide while I followed along. I wasn't in the spotlight. I didn't have to prove my competence. I could simply step back and enjoy the feeling of not being responsible to set the course and of not being the one from whom commitment was required. And to be honest, it was also more than a little annoying. After giving myself permission to take a break altogether, I started attending Sunday services at one of the many Unitarian Universalist congregations in the Bay Area. But they weren't very satisfying. I was often irritated. that easier emotion masking my grief at all I'd given up. There I was with considerably more experience than most of the ministers I was listening to, wondering if such a huge shift requiring me to start over might actually be a big mistake. Could I allow it to be okay to set my own expertise aside and lean into the role of learner? Imagining that these future colleagues of mine just might know what they're doing. Would the odd unfamiliarity of it all ever become comfortable? Would this new tradition ever really offer me a spiritual home? Despite slowing his pace on my behalf, the gap nonetheless widened between Mark and me. Until I was looking up a considerable distance at his competent movement high above me on the ice. Struggling to catch up, I foolishly ignored his counsel. And in an effort to ascend more quickly, I turned face into that icy terrain, attempting to ascend straight up. In just a few steps, I lost my balance and I started sliding, careening back down the narrow gulch toward a steep drop-off. Plant your axe! Even in my terror, I heard him screaming from up above, plant your axe! Oh, right, my axe. The one I was holding in my right hand. In the flash of that fearful fall, I recalled his experienced lesson, angle it with both hands and thrust it into the ice to stop your fall. Heeding such as I could his shouted reminder, I finally came to rest, splayed out on the rugged ice. I remained in that proned position, my heart pounding in my throat. Then, slowly realizing that all my limbs were still functioning, and after allowing myself the luxury of a brief respite, I cautiously crept back up into my climbing crouch, mindful to ascend in the manner that Mark had instructed, and set out to regain the distance I'd lost in my fall. I'm relieved, pleased, inspired, heartened that slowly, over time, I found a home, a spiritual home in Unitarian Universalism. Here in our odd mix of so many varying religious paths, none of which is valued or acclaimed over any other, I have a deep, sustaining, challenging connection. A connection to something life-giving again. I found a way to continue my ministry, to continue trying to make a difference, a whole new way of doing what I love. I'm glad now that I had others to show me this way. Aware of just how uncomfortable it felt for me at times, I'm glad there were those willing to forge this path for me. Being a follower, a learner, a listener hasn't always been easy. But it has offered me this course toward new and challenging connections. In case you're wondering, we did make it. all the way to the bitterly cold, stunning summit of Mount Shasta. The wind howling in our ears as we hugged my brother, my guide, and me. We paused. We took in that amazing vista from that remarkable peak. And then, aware of the long, long path back down, enjoyed one last look and set out. To my relief, my dear brother was still in the lead.